We going.
We go. Let's go. Let's do this. Beep. Good morning.
Good morning. How's your home? Has the in fuego? Is it in fuego? Use my Spanish, right? How is your in fuego?
Fuego. Fuego. Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. Wow, what a couple of weeks. So, yeah, last time we spoke, it was the morning of when we'd first evacuated, I think, that night. And then, that's right, I said there were no fires, but we're just hanging out at work just in case there are a fire. And then a couple of hours later, there was a huge plume of smoke in the air, and we stayed at work and stayed at work. And then there was a fairly significant grass fire that was kind of heading straight towards the township where the workshop is at that point. Massive plume of smoke. We started getting a little bit nervous at work. We're like, what? I don't know. Yeah, where to next? And then the wind changed and it went up kind of just a couple of kilometers north of our home. Burnt out huge area of that sort of our neighbor's township. I think about 50 houses were lost, and then continued to burn the mountain, the Lianganok, which is kind of just across the way from us. And so we tried to go home a few days later when it was apparently safe to do so, but we just like there was literally going to bed with the mountain burning down out the window. It was quite disconcerting. So we went back to work and ended up being there for about the best part of a week. But yeah, thankfully for us, at least home and work and stuff was okay. But yeah, pretty full on for the community here.
No kidding. This isn't common. I know you guys have fires. We have fires around us too, but.
I mean, yeah, Australia, Victoria has bushfires every year. Some years they're really bad, some years they're not as bad. And I think we're probably going to have a pretty bad fire season. We're about to enter another like five super hot, windy days, so it's not looking good. But, you know, this area hasn't burnt for 40 plus years in a sort of significant way. So it's just, you know, I suppose we've had a good run. But it also means there's a huge amount of fuel available if something does get going. So, yeah, it's been kind of overwhelming. I remember like last week sitting down to try and do quotes. Like I was okay with like production work, sanding, spraying, fine.
Yeah, when you're not thinking, right.
Enjoyable, mindless production work. And then I sat down Monday last week to try and smash out some quotes and I was just like, oh, I cannot. It's been a bit of a struggle all week just to do that sort of work. But
It's really, I mean, having grown up in a place when I was a kid in Nebraska that there was no fires, like cornfields don't really burn, you know, like.
Yeah, okay.
We had weather that was more like tornadoes and stuff like that, but like having moved out here to the West Coast and having forests all around you, it's pretty common. And like when you're looking for houses up here now, whether there's weather factors or pollution, you know, on these apps that list houses, and we are like a 9 or a 10 in our region for like air pollution, and it's not because of like smog, it's because of fire.
Really?
Regular fire in the region. Wow. That almost every season there's giant smoke moving across, and it's been 5 to 10 miles, 10-ish miles from our house. We were in like a section two. We're not out in the country like you are, like the countryside. So I can relate, and it made my family very nervous, you know, that isn't from around here. And I was pretty nervous. We were like ready to leave, and that has never happened. But your images from your house are crazy, like fire on the ridge, like stuff from LA last year. I can't imagine. I would not have slept if I was near that.
Yeah, there hasn't been a huge amount of sleep for various reasons, but yeah, it's full on. But here we are. We're okay. As I said to another friend in the US the other day, I'd much rather have wildfires than your bin fire. So I'm sorry.
Or political climate.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
The wind fire.
the bin fire. Your bin fire.
The bin. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The bin fire. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm worried about your bin fire.
All over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, which one? Like,
I know,
just
right?
Only bin fires.
Take your pick. How's your week, man? Two weeks. What's going on?
More positive notes. We've been busy. We've got job shop work. We've got. I'm getting, I won't say inundated, but like relatively inundated with inquiries and people that aren't afraid of paying for it. Where, you know, sometimes you get inquiries and it's like, you know, that costs money, you know? What do you mean? Oh. You charge for that?
It's a quality leads.
I need those leads and I need them now or I'm out.
Right. So a couple good repeat clients. Got a big job for the UMC, which is nice. On a repeat job where I don't think I told you this. I had just sold the Pearson palette base to Ken on Instagram in like an hour. He saw it and was like, yeah, I'll buy it. And I was like, whoa, that was fast. So I shipped that off, but we have all the old palettes, right? Still that have fixtures. And my plan has been, I'm going to put Lang studs in the bottom. Because it's basically, you know, change one system for another. And that was kind of like a loose plan. Like, yeah, when we get there, when we need it. And then this customer that we had made some decent amount of parts for on a pallet. And I'd asked him, I was like, hey, you guys thinking about reordering this or should I reuse the pallet? And they're like, oh, we definitely will. I don't know when. 2 years go by and like a week after I sell it, I've got an order with double the amount of parts. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. Because honestly, I don't know. I wouldn't have put the Pearson base into that machine anyway. So it's like, it was fine. I just now have to figure out. I'm pretty certain if it's in the weird like backwards. I put a reel about this, but it felt really perverse. Somebody actually, I think from the podcast listening audience sent me a link to a fifth axis adapter that takes the current DX6 vise I have and makes, well, 96 millimeter stud adapter for like the Lang plate. And it's just a piece of aluminum with studs on the bottom. And so now I can put the current vise and I have it on there on the UMC. And it just looks so wrong. It's like not center, you know, like the jaw isn't self-centering and it's like shifted off kind of towards the back and it's huge and it feels like it's going to hit stuff, but it works great. It's like,
cool.
I set up the one of our products that had soft jaws or like kind of jaws set up to run that product op one and op two, and we cut those the last 2 days and it's been going amazing. So
okay, great.
Yeah,
that's awesome that you got job shop work
right
for
now. Yeah, sick. Finally, it's nice that it was something we already had and fixtures all ready to go. So
sick. Awesome. For good. Very good.
Yeah.
It works pretty good. We've had a strong start to January. It's been really busy. We've just been getting a lot of jobs out the door, which feels great. Like, Ben's been away pretty much all of Jan since we reopened. He's coming back next week. But, you know, we look at Airtable every Monday morning, the three of us, and we're like, cool, yeah, I think it's like it's a lot, but I think it's achievable. And then I've been doing a fair bit of time on the tools, which has been nice, really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And also using it as an excuse to sort of continue to develop a few robot programs, sanding and stuff, and we're just getting through a lot of stuff. Like, I think we shipped about 30 orders last week, which is heaps for us. And
that's a lot, right?
Yeah.
In 1 week?
It just sort of suggests that, you know, a lot of it is ideal work. Like, we're just sort of getting through it quickly. It's pretty much all kit of parts and shelves. So it's all like our favorite product to produce. And it's, yeah, we're just getting through a lot of stuff. So it's been really good, actually.
I would assume that's like double at least your normal.
I think 15 a week is kind of a bit more normal. But yeah, the first couple of weeks of January have been chockers. And it's starting to ease off now a little bit. I'm starting to sort of think about next week and like, cool, all right, where's the cash coming from? Which quote's going to close? But that's the first time I've had that thought in January, which is pretty unusual. Like if I look at my little profit first spreadsheet, it's like we've only had one low dispersal week so far since, I don't know, in the last couple of months, which is awesome for the sort of Christmas January period.
Yeah,
So yeah, strong start to the year, just feels good. Yeah, I don't know what else. Just back in Robot Land, which is super satisfying. although reopening grasshopper patches after months of not looking after them, or any time period of not looking at a grasshopper patch, it's like, what is this spaghetti monster? It's disgusting. Which bits of it are still relevant? Yeah, that's been a bit of a head scratcher, but getting there.
You know,
made some new sanding programs.
Just had a thought, which I don't think is possible. It would be really cool if it was. Is, you know, those like guided tours that I think most people don't like them, but they can be useful. Like on, you get into a new app, like web app, and it like takes you from one section to another with a little call out. And I'm always usually like, kill, get rid of me. I don't want to know this.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're really useful and you can go and look at them. I was wondering if, could you do that with a grasshopper patch? Could you like have go-tos with little like notes about like what each part does?
That'd be cool.
A tour.
Yeah. Just to remind yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I leave little notes in there to try and help my future self, but I'm not leaving detailed enough notes, obviously. At the time, it feels like ample, but coming revisiting, it's like, that was not enough information, Jim.
Right.
But I discovered an awesome new command or like rapid code feature this week, which is, I think I sent you some screenshots a while ago of like, I'd been having fun getting the robot to write, like TP write to the pendant with silly little expressions as it was doing the job. Like, look, daddy, I'm sanding.
Emojis.
Yeah. Emojis not supported. But then I discovered
ASCII art.
Discovered the other command, which is TP read. So you can actually make sort of parametric programs. So when you run them on the controller, it will ask for input. It will ask the operator for an input of like, hey, what size or how many of this are you doing? Which is a bit of a game changer. So I'm starting to make some simple programs, which, you know, theoretically any of us can walk up to the robot and run of like, hey, I'm sanding this and it's this size and Ken has three of them, please, and this many passes of blah, blah. And that's been awesome to start to explore that, and it feels very powerful. Like I think it will mean, it's already meant that I've sort of simplified a whole bunch of programs instead of having multiple files or operations to do different things. You can just basically select options on the teach pendant, which is sick.
That's so great.
Digging into that, deliberately trying to carve out more time in the week for that robot dev time.
It's really helpful to like keep small. That's kind of how I've been. A lot of little software projects, I feel like I do a lot better if I can just do a little bit each day,
and
try to break away from like these crazy manic like just two solid days of that's all I do is nice and there's good progress there, but like if I can just do a little bit and keep it moving, it's probably safer in a certain way too, of like my brain is more wrapped around it and like smaller, more incremental changes.
The only bit I don't like about that is I get frustrated having like, or just overwhelmed, worried, not sure. Whenever I've got like, say, Cursor and VS Code open, you know, on my computer with multiple projects in various states, and then some stagnate for multiple days, some might stagnate for a week. It's one I might be looking at every day. I get worried about like sort of just project management of that and like losing track of things or forgetting what I was working on yesterday on that. Like, what was that? It all just gets a bit of a shambles. So like if Cursor's open in the background and I'm kind of vaguely aware of it, but I don't have time to work on it, it's like, oh, what am I, what am I doing?
I learned my like lesson for that. I don't know if you are using GitHub, but
no,
it's messy. It feels messy to figure out and set up, but man, and there's no better way to describe it, I think, than it's just little saves when you're doing commits. And whether you're using branches or not, even if you just have one branch, it is so useful because every time, it's just like I was telling Ricky, it's like every time you save in Fusion, you got that little box, put a note. What did you do here? So that you don't go back and look and it says, user save. You know, like, that's not useful. It's like, it makes it so that it can be multiple computer and that I don't have this weird, like, quasi state of, like, Cursor in the background. Like, I often have like three Cursor windows open of different projects and I'm like, oh god, what are they all saved or committed? And it's been a nice, and they basically like Cursor handles that for you now, right? Like it's like you don't have to, it can set up projects, it can it used to be way harder.
I did a new build release of the Kitaparts builder during the week, prompted by Rowan, who was like, hey, Jem, can you just add these couple of little functions to the PDF export just so it's easier for me to track which PDFs are which customer and blah, blah. So like, cool, yeah, I can do that. And so I also rolled out a few UI changes as part of that. Still not super happy. Like, I still feel like the UI is a bit of a dog's breakfast, but yeah, just incremental changes. It's so good being able to make incremental improvements to this thing.
Right.
I was chatting to someone yesterday when I was a customer when I was delivering about it because he'd used it to design his thing initially, and then I'd done the custom quote, and it's super effective little tool. But I was going to say bit backtracking. Don't know. It's gone. How's Airshop?
On that kind of
speaking of development.
First, I was going to say I have one quick thing about just editing. I've been wanting to. I guess I'm just a guy now that modifies his machine posts. Like I think it's inevitable. Yep. It's definitely me.
Sick.
And the I disconnected. I don't want it updating on its own. I think that's insane. So it doesn't.
What was
it
updating
doesn't
on
update.
Its own?
Well, if you use like a Fusion post and you can I think by default it's set to auto update.
Ooh,
which is insane.
Frightening.
Just insane.
No.
And so it was already set to that, but you know I always get worried that like something's going on with it. You know, like that that's flipped back. You know, Fusion preferences have always been garbage in terms of how they've saved state, you know, like they just often if you reinstall Fusion they just reset themselves to defaults. So I always save it offline, you know, on my own computer. And I think I don't know, Justin at Toolpath or somebody was saying, you know, they've been using GitHub to save their posts, and I was like, I think I can do that now. And so I finally last night took the post, put it into Cursor. I was going to use VS Code, kind of the old school way, and it has like minimal agent mode with, and I was like, no, I just, you know, I know what Cursor is the right way to do. So I took my old post and like just the most basic thing I wanted to do that's so helpful is to put the post time, like the date and the time. Because if you make an update and you copy that same file back to the machine,
Yeah.
How do you know it's updated?
Yeah.
Like the file size? And like that's a great idea. even on the Haas control, the modified date, you can't read all of it on the control. It's like stops like at the day mark and you're like, "What? How do I know what the time is?" So anyway, post time, I did some cool, it's just like so fun to be able to modify the stuff. We use that chip fan at the end of the cycle. It's just an M98 subroutine. And so I can just type it in at the end of anywhere in the cycle, right? It's M98 space, the file, like the PNET P499. Yep. And it just goes and does it and comes back. And I made that a post option, which is really easy. So now in the post, you can check chip fan. It puts it at the end of the cycle.
See.
And it puts a note at the top of the post that says, note, make sure you're going to have a chip fan, make sure it's in, make sure there's clearance. So that when you go to run, you're like, you're seeing it's not at the end, you know, 5,000 lines deep. That's kind of fun to like be able to like, I do some other stuff like showing the stock in the post, right? The header and then a nice layout of all the tools with like brand names and stuff. So you can really know what you're going to run, but it's just so nice to update. And then I put it into GitHub. And so now it's just ready to use. Whenever so I like want to update it again, it's tracked and I know what changed. And
tick. That's awesome. I love those little mods. Pleasing.
If you're interested, I did make that post available on GitHub. So you can, if you have a Haas NGC, you can download it and use it. If your machine crashes, it's not my fault. It ran fine for me today.
Very good.
Airshop, it's been great. It's been really nice. I think it's pretty much daily. Ricky is like, God, this is so nice to use. And it's just doing what we were hoping, which was streamlining daily operations where like, you know, stuff was all over the place when in our previous system and just not holistic. There's a lot of just nice quality of life features that have been put into. So trying to figure out how to like start sharing it as content. I've never shared software-ish things on the internet, and it's like other than like Fusion, but it doesn't like, how do you make that be a good reel? You know, like it's just not interesting, you know, like I feel like it's going to perform badly. So I haven't figured that out
yet. I mean, intuitively, one way that could work is you just talking about it, like why you made it. True. I think that's right. The biggest that's story true. Is like what drove you to make your own, what, you know, like frustrations it. Or like, because that's kind of the most engaging bit of it. It's like, yeah, screen capturing software demo is a challenging sell, but yeah.
I was doing like video. I've done a couple. One is like a tutorial test, and then one as like a vertical video, and it's like with, you know, screen recording and then my face. And the one I was trying to make into a reel, I have a raw cut that's like 6 minutes, and I'm like, 6 minutes, what am I going to do with this? You know, I just stared at it. I was like, you know, I don't need all this. I can cut it out, cut it into little bits, but I, you know, I think that helps. Like having, I was trying to think of a tone. Oh, hello, light.
Oh, house lights. This it's time to go,
very
Justin.
Very disturbing. I don't even know how that happened. I was trying to think of like a tone, you know, like it's a new business on the internet. Like people don't want to follow businesses. So I like that's a good idea to make it like, I was always going to be me talking about it, but it was like, what is that vibe?
Yeah, people want to follow people. And like, I would say like, you know, you've put so much work into the UI and the functionality and everything about it. But it's almost like that doesn't matter. It's like,
yeah,
I think people just want to see you or see someone using some little element of it. And I don't mean using it like seeing what they're doing on screen, but like, what's the, like, why is this helping my day to day? What am I, what's this little task, annoying little task in the shop that it's helping me, you know, work through in that moment? Mm-hmm. It's just like capturing that moment with a person, I think, is probably maybe one approach anyway.
Yeah. I think the more I can sadly break away from the computer too, like being able to, I was thinking if I can show, you know, a lot of it is a computer use thing, but it depends on your role. It's like, if you're Ricky, you're potentially using more cards, and like, how do you make the card and what do you do with it? And
yeah,
where does it go? And how do you reorder? Yeah. And so,
it's
been good. Really. I'll continue to harass all you listening. We are looking for people, companies to test, be early users. I know it's a big bite to try something out like this.
Nom, nom,
it,
nom.
It will be worth your while if you'd like to try it out.
Yeah. Sweet. It does look very good. The screen shares you have sent me looks very tasty.
Right. It's been fun.
Yeah, sick. Things and stuff. What else is cooking? What else has been happening? So I'll tell you about living off grid and why it sucks.
Yeah.
So I think last and why it's a bad idea.
There's a clickbait title.
And why it's a bad idea to build a workshop off grid at home. So the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've just had this run of things go wrong, and it's probably all my fault in terms of poor maintenance leading to this point. Maybe, don't know, but there's been some nice wins in it. So one of our inverters is down, which means a whole lot of solar panels aren't working, and then our big backup diesel generator, which we're relying on heavily to top up the system, that died 2 weeks ago maybe. And I think I told you about that. And I spent, you know, night after night of like AI-fueled problem solving, trying to dig down into this problem. And I had a diesel mechanic there till midnight and he couldn't work it out. And then me and Gemini went deeper.
Something about that. It sounds like you're saying me and Gemini.
Gemini and me went down the rabbit hole and came to this diagnosis. I was like, cool, the diodes and the alternator are cooked, we think. And I found a like electric motor specialist. He's like, oh, I can't get there for a week and a half, but I'll come out. Anyway, he came out on Monday. I couldn't be there, but he dug around for an hour and he was like, he walked up to the house and chatted to Laura, and he was like, well, your partner's right. I don't know how, the customer's never right, but he's worked it out. And so the diagnosis that Gemini had come up with was spot on. And that was very satisfying and a good vote for AI-fueled problem solving. Anyway, that's all resolving itself. But then the other night I was down there and there was this really weird smell, and one of the old, I'm in the process of like building a new battery pack, which would be amazing, but we're kind of limping along on the old batteries at the moment. And there was this really weird smell the other night, and one of the old lithium cells, which is, this is from my Volkswagen electric car conversion project from like that I started like 15 years ago. So I'm running those batteries in the system. Wow. And one of those old batteries, it just like completely cooked itself. It was on the verge of thermal runaway.
Oh,
it was swollen and hot, and like it was even starting to leak like whatever the goop is inside out through the casing.
There's a nice little clip there too.
Oh, yeah. Felt super sketchy. Anyway, I managed to get that out of the system. Anyway, this is kind of between a busy first 2 weeks back at work and bushfires close to home. I've just kind of been consumed by this off-grid, are these off-grid challenges at home. But we're getting there. The home battery project's coming along. I've been crimping big copper cables and getting it all ready to patch in. So hopefully by this time next week, the shed won't have burnt down in a lithium fire and I'll have nice new batteries to report back on. Yeah. Fun times.
What's the gap between your home and this shed? Do you have a fire line between them?
Need one. It's about 100 meters.
Oh, I just bought, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. I just bought one of those like point-to-point Wi-Fi. What are they called? Wi-Fi thingies? Yep. Don't know what they're called. To try and
shooters
get internet to the shed so that I can remote monitor and know when something's going wrong.
Yeah.
And then last night I was like, I could have like little thermal cameras hooked up to Home Assistant and like have something monitoring the thermal camera and going, hey, it's hot. It's hot in here.
Right.
What's that?
I haven't.
Ooh. He's going.
I have one Home Assistant home, green. It's been good. Yeah. Per Dylan's suggestion.
Okay.
Got this one and I'm daunted to set it up. I have so many messy things going on with home things at the shop that I'm like, I need like a full weekend for this.
So that's the one for the shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
It's a mess. Yeah, it's even the one at home. I mean, like I said, I'm old school in terms of like, I had smart things in like 2012. And so things are just, there's, I think the better situation would be blow it up and start over than trying to move over. Cause that's what I did at home is like slowly move things over. And you've got to like delete stuff and re-add it a certain way. And it does seem to be stable, but a lot of work still. So have we talked about that? I think we did those like fire extinguisher bomb ball things.
Yeah. I've got some.
Did you have some?
Yeah.
You have
I've got some
shed?
In my dust collector.
Oh, yeah. I remember looking them up on Amazon. They had like horrible reviews.
Really?
Bomb fire extinguisher balls.
I've got the Elite Fireball. Look, yeah, I can't speak to how effective they are because thankfully I've never had to use them, but there are two parked up in the bag house of our big dust collector in the hope that if we ever did have a dust collector fire, they would help a little bit. Yeah. I don't know.
They must not sell them on Amazon anymore. They seem scared of the idea of a bomb being sent to people, I think.
Fair enough.
There they are.
What about them?
Huh, interesting. I was just, you know, they just stick in my mind as like entertaining and you kind of want it to work, but you don't really know
great
if it
for
will.
Kids parties, and then, you know, get a six pack. Amazing.
Bowl with them, you know, try it out. I forgot. There's two major things we are missing. We have buried at the end of the show. One, what? I have a hole through my wall now.
What?
I can walk
is it
between
still
shops.
Only 6 inches wide?
It's 14.5 inches wide, which is enough for both of Ricky and I, not at the same time. But it is glorious. And we have six some
one
months
might say
to
it's a glory
finish
hole.
Our permit.
What? Sorry.
You might. You might.
You walked into that.
I think I did. Well, I'm going to put a little note up that says the glory hole. In the wall.
It's a glorious hole. That's okay. It's okay to have a glorious hole in your shop. Why is it only 14 inches wide? Why? What have you not
studs
done?
Are 16 inches on center in America, and between them it's 14 and a half inches. So I didn't cut out any studs yet. We've got the room is actually, strangely enough, being decommissioned and brought to our neighbor because they need a space for a new UV printing line they're going to put in that's enclosed. And I was like, hey, I've got a room you might need.
See, all right.
And so they're taking it. So the room needs to move. Then we'll expand the hole because there's currently the old Dexter room is in the way.
Cool. So the Dexter room's going. That sounds wise. Nice. Then you'll get a bigger hole. Good.
Yes.
Nice. Sick.
But it's been so nice. So nice to go between. It's not much of a story other than it's been really annoying until that was opened up.
I'm sure.
What's our other big... Did you watch the
No, I haven't video? Watched it yet.
Oh, no. We'll have to wait till next, I guess.
No, tell me all about it.
Well, I'm going to ruin all it. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah, new random routing. Debris Brooms alerted us that there was a random routing video.
Multiple people that sent it to me.
Did you?
I have That's to find awesome. That other one. Well, Debris must have like notifications turned on for random routing because it was like seemingly within an hour.
It's an hour long. Oh my gosh.
Is it? It didn't seem like it. I was just like a kid in a candy store.
I can't believe this.
You just need to stay up late, work on your projects, have it on in the corner. That's what I'm
already staying up too late.
I can just tell you what happens.
Yeah, no, tell me. Tell me why you're excited. What's good in there?
I mean, per his style, it's a lot of little projects, I guess. One major project is that he's upgrading his Kimla 19-meter long router. I don't know how it's a building sized router. I don't know, it's huge. That already was cool and had a bunch of amazing upgrades he's modified on it, including an ABU robot that loads it. Based on he showed he has a modified fusion post he's made where it can load via post options.
For her.
He checks a box at the post for like load 3 millimeter, load 4 millimeter. But he can also do that. The other great thing is I don't know what's standard versus I think he's customized everything, but that machine runs on some software called PC Cam, I think. He's made that software. I can't tell.
Nah,
for sure.
He's Kimla modified software, it. I think.
He's modified it pretty extensively so that it's got like AI features, which he talked about in it now, where he can like generate stuff on voice command and modify it. And he shared that in the video. So now you can use that yourself. But like Kimla's going to start taking his upgrades and using them. And they're like, I think they've provided them some parts or something. So they're using his upgrades, but he's upgraded in the video. I'm too excited. I keep talking about all the things he's done. He's upgraded the machine to a double decked carousel tool changer that has 48 tools.
Wow.
48 tools on a router. And he makes the parts on the machine, which is amazing. And they are such nice quality aluminum parts. Like I think would pass as mill parts often in terms of like the edge finishes and like, except for these parts are like a couple meters in size, you know, sometimes, or maybe four or five feet. He has a press brake, so he bends up a cover for it. It's got like automation with it, so when it opens up, kind of like a Hermla ATC door to go change the tool in and out, and it's so satisfying.
Sick. Yeah, can't wait to check it out. Wow. Is it the same style, like completely unedited, just one single take GoPro?
It's a little cleaner, and he may watch this, and I would just say I love it regardless. Don't take our criticism.
Don't change.
I think when we first found him, we were both marveling over like how good all of it is, the things he's doing, and then like the videos, he's doing it for the love of the game, right? Like it's like they're not made to be like giant algorithm hits, which is awesome. It's just like for all of us that love this kind of stuff.
Sick.
Yeah. Super, super cool stuff. What was the thing?
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Oh, maybe the most impressive thing. See if you think your router could do this. It's got a probe on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he forgot, he's designing this whole new carousel system, this giant piece of aluminum. I think it's 14 or 15 millimeters thick. And it's the big carousel. So it's all these forks on the outside, the ways that hold them. So his tool forks are the HSK, and they've got those pins that snap in. And he made the pin, the offset, which I found was, we've been sourcing these, the pins aren't standard versus where the bolt holes are. So they were a little bit too short. And so to fix it, it was already done, and he had already started assembling it. He put the whole thing back, partially assembled, onto the machine. He probed a couple holes and then matched and made slots out of the holes. And they had close-ups on it. And it was like, there was no double cuts. It was just perfect all the way around, like hundreds of holes. And I was like, there's no chance. I could never do that on my router. Like, no way.
I couldn't locate it. Yeah, that's awesome.
No. I all I can think is like, is my next router a Kimlo? Like,
that does seem
impressive.
Could it
cost $1 million? Yeah. I don't know.
Can't remember where they're from. Somewhere Eastern Bloc.
Sweden.
Oh, you think it's Swedish? Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
He is Swedish?
He's Swedish, yeah. I reckon Kimler is Polish or something, but we shall see.
Kimla, you're right. .pl.
Very good.
It's funny because you go and look at the machines on their website, which I've done a few times now, and they... they just look pretty standard. Like, he's done so much customization to that maybe it's like I'm lusting after the thing he's come up with, not
that doesn't exist.
The Kimla.
You get bitterly disappointed when it ships.
Can I get the random routing spec?
I want that one. Yeah. I don't know what else. Things and stuff. Pretty much.
What do you do with this battery that's bulging? Is there a place to recycle them? It's like,
I hope so.
Takes that.
The other night when it happened, I was like, what the hell do I do with this thing so it doesn't continue to melt down? So I buried it in dry cement.
I was just thinking.
Weighted it down with some more bags of cement. It's like, okay.
If I can just see your, I don't know how to approximate an Australian news anchor, so I'm going to do an American. It's like, local man who has an off-grid house starts brush fire with his battery exploding.
Oh, no. Exactly. It's not a good time. Yep. I need to sort it out. I went and saw one of your compatriots last night. David Byrne played in Melbourne. Laura and I went on a date for the...
I couldn't figure out what that was.
Went on a date for the first time in years. I only had one child attached to us. It was great.
I was going to say, awesome show. There was a kid with you.
There was a kid with us, yeah. It was an awesome show, but I'm very tired. Because we were a drive back from Melbourne late, and yeah, I'm running in about 4 hours, but feeling perky. Had my coffee, chatted to you.
It's good.
Good way to start the day.
Good catching up. Yeah, yeah. I think you had shared some stories or something, and I almost made a joke, and I thought, I don't want to offend, but it looked like the Blue Man Group was turned orange and performing. And I was like, in America, those are convicts. typically.
David Byrne does like his color blocking one piece colored suits. I think he's done blue shows. This was an all orange show, and it was pretty amazing. Very happy making.
Nice. Right, that's good. I haven't been to a concert in a long time.
Yeah, that's good. Good. Even the 18-month-old had a good time too. She was pretty happy just bouncing around in her pajamas at our feet in the crowd. And it was a really nice crowd. And, you know, the grandpa behind us was like, hey, does she want a cherry tomato? She's like, yeah, sure.
That's what that was.
Yep. Oh, so I've officially dumped Chatty G. Probably see since I last spoke to you. See you, Chatty. Useless. Cancelled my subscription. Occasionally, I try and use the voice chat, and I'm always just like, no, you're so no, useless. Go home. So I don't know if I've just failed to maintain my system and my prompts and my bloody blah. I could probably get a lot more out of it, but I've pretty much, when it comes to incidental mobile use, I've pretty much entirely switched to Gemini in the Gemini app.
Yeah.
Just because I guess I'm paying for it through my Google, like G Suite, whatever that I pay for with Google comes with that anyway. Yeah,
that's true. I guess and, I do too.
I'm really impressed. Yeah, you probably do. If you use Gmail, you probably do. Or if you're paying for Gmail. But generally speaking, I've been really impressed with the Gemini ecosystem. Posted some stories the other night about my little rendering experiments at a Rhino, and I've had like so many DMs. I need to do a follow-up story about how I'm doing that because I've had to explain it to heaps of people that have messaged me about it. But it's been, good times.
Right. Yeah, those are turning out really great. I wanted that one that you shared that was, there's a lot of copy stuff on the wall. I want that. Can I have that one?
Sure. Have that one.
Interesting. I mean, I put down because I felt like it was relevant to us, but that Gemini will be backing Siri at some point.
Oh, really?
Whoa. I have no hopes that it's going to turn into like a cool app or anything that's like, I don't know, but apparently Apple's given up its hope of becoming good at LLMs and AI and stuff for now, and they're just paying Google to do it. So I think that's probably
interesting.
Better than what, like, that Gemini, Google does seem to be pretty far ahead in terms of some of this, like,
Okay. I mean, yeah. It's interesting that Apple's going to drop the ball in that regard. But maybe it's
big time.
Too hard to catch up these days. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
I think there's something about, like, I've had something like three friends since the start of the year ask me a lot of questions about how they basically... I think a lot of people have used LLMs casually, incidentally, and I've talked to enough people about it that they're like, I'm the friend guru to some degree, you know, of like the normal people that don't, don't do this like we do. Some of their questions are interesting and totally relevant, even for what you're saying. It's like my stickiness with GPT is it knows so much about me, right? Like it's got all this history and memory. And some of my friends were like, well, I've used GPT or Claude a lot. Like, how would I bring that into sim theory? And it's like, you can and you can't, you know, like some of it works to bring memories across and some of it just doesn't. And that's probably some of their best, I don't know, stickiness, I suppose, of some of these things is keeping you somehow with that ability.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I suppose, like, I wonder what I'm leaving behind in my mess of my OpenAI subscription in terms of, I mean, you can technically export it all. I wonder whether I could export my sort of history on that platform and then pass it in some way that sort of archives it in a useful, but I think, you know, certain projects in there that I'd like to do that with. Oh gosh, can you imagine? Yeah. I think I'll just leave it for dead. And maybe they'll release some amazing service or model next week and I'll be back there giving them money again. So who knows? This
is
just
made me think.
You never know.
We talked about this forever ago about exporting and backing up our GPT. And I'm going to do it right now. And just because it was big then. I remember it was like a giant
now.
File. I just want to see what it's like. Like, how enormous is this file?
Because it just dumps out like a raw text file, doesn't it? Or some basic format.
Something like JSON, maybe, I feel like, the last time. But I mean, that was years ago. It's going to be massive. So. I suppose my one other thought I just thought of is we've been testing new tooling, like I was saying, and trying different versions. And so far, I'm pretty happy and excited about some coded tooling, which we've not had before. It seems
coated
toolings. Yeah.
Cool.
It seems to be, I get it and I understand it. And I think I'm going to be able to make some cool videos to help explain why, instead of what happens often with tooling vendors is they're like, it's better. Get it now. Pay more for it. And I have a little bit more knowledge and I have some cool ideas about how to like make that be more tangible and like real rather than like, because even after that, it's like everybody's experience is going to be different. They're cutting different things. So you can't say like, we'll perform 3 times better, which some people do. And it's crazy. Cause it's like, you can't actually make that claim without, you know, I don't know. That's a crazy claim, but yeah, so far it's exciting. Hoping to have it out here, some new options in the next maybe month. I don't know if we'll get there that fast, but
that's fun. Great. Didn't have a sort of Australian ground tooling policy, I would love to sample some of your kit. But
seems we'll some
a bit silly of me to ship some over, but. Cool.
That's it.
Ring a ding ding. That's a crappy bell, isn't it?
The end.